So what other low glycemic options? Obviously, veggies fit into that. Beans fit into that. I wouldn't say that beans are my favorite thing to eat, though, but they are low glycemic. Lentils are another one that's really good. Rice is not low glycemic, but if you cool it completely and then reheat it, it's what's called a resistant starch. So it does have a lower glycemic index than originally, but also resistant starches help feed the good bacteria in your gut. So I cook it in bone broth and coconut oil, actually. And I find that I have a much more stable glucose response when I do that. So those are some of my favorite options.
Welcome to the Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast. This is your podcast host, Leah Brueggemann. I am a functional diagnostic nutritional practitioner. Here you are going to get actionable steps you can take today to start balancing your hormones naturally so that you can maximize your menstrual cycle for painless periods, more energy, and weight loss. Learn my 3 secrets to balancing hormones naturally. Just go to freehormonetraining.com and save your spot. Let's dive on in.
Hi, ladies. So today we're drinking matcha and we are contemplating the fact that Leah's nails need to be repainted because they're like half grown out and it looks really bad, but it's okay. We're going to drink matcha. I'm going to tell you what's in my matcha in a second because I used to think matcha tasted like grass, but I have been converted. And today we're going to be talking about the top foods that you want to include in your life for hormonal balance and the top foods you want to avoid for causing hormonal imbalance. So we're all about easy hacks that better your life. So I think you're going to really like this episode. So let's dive right in with what's in my matcha. Okay. So I use Peak Tea matcha. It's like a million times screened for heavy metals, which is actually really common in teas. Did you know that? And so I really enjoy that aspect of it. But what I enjoy even more is the taste. Because I'm telling you guys, I used to think matcha tasted like grass. It just was disgusting. But I love Peak Tea matcha. So what I do, I don't have a discount code with them, but we love them. They're so good. I use that. I take about maybe 1 ounce of water and I heat it up and then I put my matcha in and I stir that up. And then I add in right now, currently I have like the coconut creamer that was like a limited time thing from Peak, but it is good, but I don't typically have it obviously because it's limited. And then I put a scoop of the vanilla Further Foods collagen in. Further Foods has a discount code for you, which is Leah18. You can save 18% on every order. And then I put a splash of vanilla. And we have this homemade vanilla that someone gifted us for Christmas. I think it was one of my kids' godmothers, I think. And then you do milk of choice and froth it up. And it's so good. So good. One of the things we actually are going to talk about today is caffeine. And I love matcha for a lot of my clients and for a lot of people because it has what's called L-theanine in it. And so it can be very calming. So that's really quite useful for people if they deal with anxiety from caffeine. Also, I recommend if you deal with any anxiety in your pre-period time and you do drink coffee to try and switch it to matcha during that time and just see how you feel. You never know. Maybe your life will be changed. So cheers to you. Let's dive in. I have my notes. Why do I keep coming to you guys with notes? Because pregnancy brain, if I don't have notes when I talk to you, so I'm sorry if you're watching the YouTube video and it looks like I'm looking at my notes. I am looking at my notes because I'll just get off on tangent. Okay. So number one thing that I'm going to recommend to you guys to support healthy hormones is making sure you're getting in enough good, solid, healthy fats. Olive oil, not heated, but good olive oil is great. Avocados, great. Coconut oil, amazing. I love nuts and seeds as long as they're not rancid. So if you get nuts, I highly recommend refrigerating them. And then same thing with seeds. Like I buy them whole. And then before I consume seeds, I make sure they're ground. And I also store them in the fridge or even the freezer because you don't want them to go rancid. Once they're rancid, we have lost the benefits, right? They're not going to be supporting those. So these are very rich in anti-inflammatory compounds. They're going to provide you some monounsaturated fats, which is going to be great for helping support blood sugar. It's going to be great for helping support hormone production. And a lot of these, like for example, like nuts and seeds also, and avocados, bring in some fiber, which is great. Which brings me to my next one, soluble fiber. And fiber in general, but a lot of soluble fiber. So the reason why I love soluble fiber is it's so great at binding to excess and used up estrogen and helping just escort it out of the body. So I highly recommend consuming soluble fiber daily, and you should be consuming fiber with every single meal. I think most people are under consuming fiber, unfortunately. And then when they try and bring fiber in, they're like, oh, but it causes all these gut issues, so I don't digest fiber well, blah, 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 blah. That's because you probably have an imbalance in your gut microbiome, and we have to slowly build all of this up. Okay. So things that I love for soluble and insoluble fiber. One of the top ones, you guys hear me talk about getting in a raw carrot a day. And the reason is that carrots are actually high in soluble fiber. So they're going to be very helpful and supportive of your body detoxing estrogen, which is why I talk about consuming them. I always like combining carrots with some beets because then we're also bringing in some liver support there as well. And maybe sprinkle some lemon juice on there. Those are great for supporting liver. Vitamin C is one of the nutrients our liver needs to do its job. Nuts and seeds are high in fiber. Leafy greens are high in fiber. Veggies are just high in fiber. Beans are high in fiber. So making sure that you're consuming these every day is really important for overall hormone support. That's why when we talk about blood sugar balance, it's so important that you are, you know, getting that half a plate of veggies, non-starchy veggies in. I also highly recommend getting in protein-rich foods. I don't know, I feel like I talk about that all the time, but you guys, protein is so important for so many different functions in your body, including hormones. But also, all of these foods that are rich in protein also pack a punch for a ton of other nutrients that you need. For example, one that I really love is salmon. It's high in omega-3 fatty acids, which has been shown to lower prostaglandins, which if you're someone with really painful periods, you're going to be loving some salmon and some omega-3s to lower those prostaglandins. Another protein-rich food that I love is good old steak, good old grass-fed steak. It's really high in good fats as well. It's really high in B vitamins and zinc. So all things that we need for hormones. Eggs also provide choline and again, healthy fats that we need for hormone production. Chicken thighs. I know we talk about chicken breasts all the time, but I want to give chicken thighs their moment because chicken thighs are a lot higher in zinc and they're richer in B vitamins than chicken breasts. So I just wanted to highlight some ones that maybe you didn't really think about. And now we're going to circle back to fiber. And you're like, why don't we talk about fiber all the time? I'm sorry, you guys, but I want to talk about fiber again, specifically in the cruciferous vegetable family. And the reason why is they contain a compound called indole-3-carbinol, which supports estrogen detoxification and balances our hormones. So what's that going to look like? That's broccoli, kale, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, broccolini. I love broccolini. It's so good. So again, trying to incorporate these is going to be very good. This is where I really like food cycling. So you're not trying to get in all of these every single day, because that's really hard to do. But I'll focus on a few for that week, and then I rotate to the next couple. So you're constantly getting that rotation. There are two mushrooms that have just truly been such a game changer for some of my clients. And I wanted to share them with you because I think that you will start to notice a difference with these as well. We don't talk about these two enough, so we're going to talk about them some more, because they're not the I am boosting libido and energy mushrooms, which are fun and exciting. These are the mushrooms that work silently behind the scenes and just change your life. So one of those is lion's mane. I have a lot of clients with Lyme disease and mold, and you know, that can really do a number on our mental health and anxiety and our sleep. And lion's mane is really high in ergothionine, which is very, very useful for helping your brain detox. So I actually recommend taking it before bed. I started doing that, I don't know, quite a few months ago. And I can't recommend it enough. Like, definitely give it a shot and see how you feel with that. If you want more focus and mental clarity, I would do it in the morning. You can't really go wrong. But the other one that I pair it with, so I like pairing these two together, is chaga. Now, the reason why is chaga is known for its sky high antioxidant content. And what does antioxidants do? What do? They fight inflammation. Now, when inflammation is chronic and uncontrolled, it leads to that oxidative stress, cellular damage. And chaga is literally one of the foods that has the highest antioxidant content ever, ever. And when we think of chronic gut inflammation, inflammatory bowel disease, any type of inflammation, it's fueled by something called TNF-alpha, which is one of your inflammatory markers. And research shows that chaga can naturally lower TNF-alpha levels. That's insane. And I have literally been pairing these two with so many of my clients, the chaga and the lion's mane, and they are just telling me, oh my goodness, my mental health is so much better. I have so much more clarity. My sleep is so much better. You know, they don't feel so in pain and puffy and all of these things. I just, such a powerhouse. Now, you guys know I talk about this. It's so important to make sure you're getting the correct dosage of these to actually be getting these benefits. And that's why I use Aversio Wellness, because most companies out there, they're giving you 500 milligrams, which isn't anywhere near the therapeutic dosage that you need to actually see these benefits. And so Aversio Wellness has such a high extraction ratio with their mushroom, and they use fruiting body only. And so I can take one capsule of chaga, one capsule, and reach the therapeutic dosage that I need to see these benefits versus having to take a million of them. So one of their jars of chaga is a 2-month supply. So literally so worth it. Lion's mane and chaga. So lion's mane, they call focus now, and chaga, they call protect now. It's going to be the blue and the teal jars. So go to aversiowellness.com, that's E-V-E-R-S-I-O wellness.com, and use the coupon code Leah to save 15% on every order, which is literally incredible. Carbs. What? Why are we going to talk about carbs? We need carbs. We need carbs. We need carbs. Why do we need carbs? We need carbs. We need glucose for conversion of T4 to T3, which is your inactive to your active thyroid hormone. We need them for our adrenals. So we do need them, but, especially if you're dealing with hormone imbalances, I would probably focus more on the lower glycemic index of carbs, just to help support stabilizing your blood sugar. So some of my favorite lower glycemic carbs are squashes. I love squashes. Spaghetti squash, pumpkin squash, acorn squash. These also double and are really high in potassium, which is amazing support for stress and also helping sensitize your cell to your thyroid hormone. I love berries. Berries also double because they're high in what's called ellagic acid, which helps neutralize estrogen quinones, which has a lot of fancy words, which basically, like, think about estrogen quinones as like causing damage in your body. And so ellagic acid comes in and neutralizes them and says, don't do that. So those are a great option. They're double whammy at supporting that, as well as being high in fiber and being a low glycemic fruit option. So what other low glycemic options? I mean, obviously veggies fit into that. Beans fit into that. I wouldn't say that beans are my favorite thing to eat though, like, but they are low glycemic. Lentils are another one that's really good. I love making rice is not low glycemic, but if you cool it completely and then reheat it, it's what's called a resistant starch. So it does have a lower glycemic index than originally, but also resistant starches help feed the good bacteria in your gut. So I personally like cooking my rice in bone broth. I'm so out of breath. Sorry. It's just a pregnancy problem. So I cook it in bone broth and coconut oil, actually. And I find that I have a much more stable glucose response when I do that. So those are some of my favorite options. Anti-inflammatory foods are obviously going to be helpful. This anti-inflammatory and antioxidant rich kind of feel like go into the same category for me. Antioxidants, what they do is like basically oxidation you want to think about is like your body rusting. And antioxidants are something that comes in and helps your body not rust. That's the best way that I can explain it. So anti-inflammatory foods that I really like are berries. They're very high in antioxidants. Anything like really colorful is going to be higher in antioxidants. Chaga, the mushroom, is actually extremely high in antioxidants. You guys know I use Aversio Wellness for my chaga. You can always use the coupon code Leah to save 15% with them. Those are probably some of my favorite antioxidants. Get that color in. And then I love anti-inflammatory. I love ginger. I love turmeric. It just helps reduce overall inflammation in the body. I love resveratrol, not from drinking red wine, just literally the supplement resveratrol. And all, you know, the more we can reduce inflammation in the body, the more overall we're going to feel better. Now, this is not about you implementing foundation. So we're not going to talk about blood sugar balance. Again, we're just talking about foods. I do love prebiotic and probiotic rich foods to support our gut. Now, prebiotic foods are going to be in that like resistant starch category. So like plantains fit into that category. Green bananas fit into that category. Potatoes, white potatoes after they've been cooled are a resistant starch. Same thing with rice. Anything that is a starch, once it's fully been cooled, it is then becomes a resistant starch. Sauerkraut, kimchi, all of those are really great food choices for that. You can even like have like pickled beets and things like that. Are going to be really helpful. The last one that I kind of want to like touch on a little bit in terms of food is like foods that are specifically like rich in nutrients and vitamins that I think maybe you don't eat every day. So that's going to be like foods rich in zinc, selenium, vitamin A, and B vitamins. So vitamin A rich foods, you find that in grass-fed butter. That's like a great form of getting it in. If you tolerate milk well or dairy well, I personally like to get in raw milk while we make yogurt with ours. So then we're doubling it and getting, what's the word, Leah? Probiotics. That's what I'm looking for. And with it. So that's another great one. Oysters. Yeah, that one sounds about as gross as it sounds. Yep. I'm sorry. Organ meats, we get those in, obviously. We talk about those a lot. Red meat, good quality grass-fed red meat is going to be really helpful here. I love Brazil nuts for this. Some other seafood that is really good. Sardines are a good one for this. Salmon is another really good one. They're rich in all of these, like I would call them like fertility boosting foods. And again, we don't talk about fertility as in just having babies, like fertility is a sign of your health. Okay. So we talked about foods that you should be getting in that are going to help support your overall hormones. It's going to be good, healthy fats, your protein rich, omega-3 rich proteins that pack a punch, your cruciferous vegetables, your lower glycemic carbs, your anti-inflammatory and antioxidant rich foods, your probiotic, prebiotic foods, and then your fertility overall supporting foods. Honestly, if you like can check those boxes and you're getting those in regularly, good for you. Those are amazing support for hormones. Now, what are the foods that I would avoid like the plague? You know which one I'm going to put at the top of this category. Are you ready? Is high fructose corn syrup. So when we think about high fructose corn syrup, I think we think about being like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, it's not that bad. It's just whatever. I don't know. Maybe you think that. I don't know. It's so bad. So high fructose corn syrup, unlike glucose, so fructose is primarily processed through the liver. So high fructose corn syrup, which is even worse, metabolized in the liver, where it can be converted into fat. So high consumption of high fructose corn syrup is linked to increased fat storage, particularly the visceral fat around your organs, which is the most dangerous kind. It impairs your insulin sensitivity. Remember, we talk about insulin, cortisol, glucose, all of those impacting your hormones. So it impairs your insulin sensitivity. It contributes to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, promotes chronic inflammation, and it disrupts your hunger cues, and it disrupts your gut health. So I mean, honestly, if you're avoiding 90% of like processed foods, like highly processed foods, like sugary snacks, you're probably going to be avoiding corn syrup. I mean, high fructose corn syrup, but I just felt like it deserved its own category. High fructose corn syrup like goes into the category of really, really bad. Okay. And then the things that I obviously, you know, we talk about blood sugar balance a lot, but things that I would avoid, honestly, on a regular basis, like we're just being hardcore here. Foods that I would avoid are going to be ones with a very high glycemic index, which are your refined sugars, processed carbs, like white bread, pastries, pasta, like sugary soda, sweetened teas, energy drinks, straight up candy, things like that. Honestly, like when you drink your calories, it's crazy how much sugar you end up on, you know, getting in there. And the more we're massively spiking that blood sugar, right? You know, it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. It's causing inflammation and it's going to be impacting our insulin sensitivity, which is then going to be impacting our cortisol. And if you have PCOS, this is also going to cause you probably to produce more testosterone and impact your ovulation. So if we were, I never like to label things as good or bad, because I don't think that food has a moral code. But if you just want me to give you a category to like extremely limit, that would be the category. Okay. I would 100% avoid high fructose corn syrup. Another one that's going to go into this category that impacts your hormones is alcohol. So alcohol is literally poison to your brain cells, but it also interferes with your liver function, which is essential for your hormone detoxification, and can impact your cortisol levels, and it also can directly impact your testosterone levels. So not good. So I feel like you know what alcohol is in. Like, do we really have to like talk about that? Probably not. One that I do recommend avoiding, which I know people don't necessarily always like that, is soy. So soy, if it was actually always non-GMO, which it just really is not in the US, unfortunately, because just all of our seeds have gotten contaminated here, puts it into the category of a xenoestrogen. So it can disrupt your estrogen patterns. And also another thing that it can impact is actually your thyroid. So it is just it's a no. I will say that like soy tends to hide in a lot of things. So, I mean, you'll see it like soybean oil is in a lot of processed foods. And then soy protein is in a lot of like protein rich foods. So if like you're like, oh, it has extra protein, check the ingredients. It's probably soy protein would be my guess that is in a lot of them. So that goes into the no category. And then another one that I want to just talk about, because I know if you're looking for lower glycemic foods, this is probably in some of those. And that is like the artificial sweeteners and some non-artificial sweeteners. So let's go through those. So artificial, I'm talking about like the Truvia, the aspartame, the sucralose. These have been proven to disrupt your gut microbiome, which we know that our gut microbiome is very closely linked and related to hormone regulation. Also, just bloating. Okay. Nobody wants that. This is found in a lot of those like sugar-free things. Like, let me tell you, it's on your barbecue sauce. Like, you think you're getting like sugar-free barbecue sauce? Bet it's got sucralose in it. Sugar-free ketchup? Bet it's got sucralose in it. You got to look at those ingredients. Found in diet sodas. I already say that. Low calorie would be like, this is a low calorie, sugar-free, whatever. Sugar-free gum. It's in there. Another one that I don't consume, I do chew it in gum because it's actually great for your teeth, dental health, is xylitol, but it can cause like a lot of gut disruption in terms of like, you just feel bloated and like, eh. And then erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol, same category, as xylitol. So I would avoid those. And then the other thing that I would do my best to avoid is going to be buying non-organic produce that's on the Dirty Dozen. So if you don't know what that is, there's a list that's put out every year called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean, is it Clean 15? I think it's Clean 15. And the Dirty Dozen are the most highly sprayed produce. And so those are the ones that you want to focus on getting organic. And, you know, pesticides literally could do so many things, but they can act as endocrine disruptors, affecting your estrogen, testosterone, your thyroid hormones, but also your so many chemicals and toxins in there that your body then has to get rid of, which is, again, more stress on our body when we would rather just have it do its job of supporting hormone balance. Okay. So if I was going to put them all into a category, that's what I would do. And you know, the thing is that I know that gets like nitty gritty, like an artificial sweetener or, you know, a soy product or, you know, something like that. The thing is, it like knocks out 99% of processed foods, but I don't want to say like, oh, don't eat like processed foods, because I don't know. I think it can get too like restrictive, but if you start just looking at your ingredients, it'll be better. Now, all food is actually processed to some extent. Even, you know, like your cheese, if you get raw cheese at the store, like it still had to go through the process of getting packaged and, you know, cut up. And, you know, so it's not that unless you're literally eating your carrot without washing it from the garden, it's going through some type of processing, but the more minimally processed you're getting your foods, obviously the better. But yeah, what I recommend doing is actually not focusing on the foods that I said to make sure you're avoiding. I would focus on the foods that I said to include. So the more you include those, you actually start crowding out the rest, and it makes your life a lot easier. So that is how I would start doing that to make it not seem so daunting. So cheers. I'm going to finish my matcha and we'll chat later. Okay.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Balancing Hormones Naturally. If you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with a friend and post it on your stories and tag Balancing Hormones Naturally podcast so we can get this message out. You can find me on Instagram @Leah_BRUEG, and I would absolutely love to hear from you.